What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of the Tactics Con podcast. I'm your host, Stuart Amadon. For more information about the Tactics Conference, you can go to tacticscon.com. Today, we're hanging out with Nathan Anderson, the documentary legend.
I don't know about that.
Well, close enough. Nathan, thank you so much for hanging out. We're at Fight Laugh Feast, so if you hear a din in the background, that's what's going on right now. Nathan, you've produced three documentaries. I just learned about the third, like, 5 minutes before this started.
Yeah. So I, back in 2020, I released On Earth As It Is in Heaven, which was my first film that kind of explores the idea of an optimistic eschatology. After that, 2021, I started filming for Teach All Nations, which was my second film.
That's awesome.
Which actually, the Teach All Nations is a docu-series, so it's a
five-part. That's
30,
right.
40 minute.
I remember it released on Lore whenever it first came out. Yes,
that's
I remember
right.
that. That's how Lore kind of like broke the ice to everybody was with your documentary series.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
I remember that. Yes.
Yeah, and then my third film, which I released this year, is called Honor the Sun. And that's like an hour and a half, so it's kind of a normal length documentary. And that kind of goes into the whole area of kind of faith in politics, which is kind of
the theme
a big
here.
Theme where we're at right now.
Yeah, that's awesome. So... Honor the Sun, Faith in Politics, Teach All Nations. Where does that hone in? What's that?
Well, Teach All Nations, so coming from this first film of an idea of an optimistic eschatology, basically an idea that, you know, maybe we have a long way to go. Maybe things might be better in the future than just the doom and gloom that many tend to expect in the church and outside of the church these days.
Right.
And Teach All Nations was just kind of a way to go, well, if that is true, how does that look practically in areas like, the family or in politics as well, even? So
yeah.
I kind of touched on that briefly. But Honor the Sun was kind of just a deeper dive into that issue,
okay.
I guess. But yeah, Teach All Nations, we have an episode on the family, on economics, and on a number of different more practical Christian worldview issues.
Where do people go to find your docs?
Well, onearthfilm.net is my website, and there's links to most things there. But you could just also type the names into YouTube, On Earth As It Is in Heaven, and you can find it there. But it's also available on Wrath and Grace Ministries app, the Relearn app. Obviously, Teach All Nations is on Lure. It's at a number of different places. I'm probably not. I'm probably leaving some people out. Sorry about that.
That's but, okay. We can add them after the fact.
there's a number of different places where you can find them. And you know, we'll all else fail, just type it into YouTube and it'll come
eventually
up.
Something will pop up. Well, that's awesome. So everything also lives on YouTube too.
That's right. Yeah.
I got it. So what got you into documentaries? Because that seems to be like a heavy lifting type of work. You know, what made you want to pursue that?
That's a very good question. I really wasn't even involved with anything related to film or photography until like 2016.
Really?
Yeah. I wasn't very involved in that at all. And got a camera. My wife is a photographer, so she was kind of had a bit more interest in those things, but I hadn't done anything along those lines. And grabbed a camera in 2016, started making short videos and a few different things, and tried to make a short little documentary just talking about my parents and their ministry in 2016. And after that, I, you know, was interested in this whole issue of eschatology and postmillennialism.
Okay. And you said, let's make a documentary about it.
Well, more than that, it was, I live in Chile. I live in South America.
Okay.
And there was not a lot of material available on that subject in Spanish.
Oh.
And so my original idea for the film was to do a film in Spanish, interview a few pastors, a few people I knew down in Chile, and put together the film. And so that was like in 2017, I remember.
Yeah.
Or might have been 2018, but when I started kind of running around trying to do that. And I did a bunch of interviews, actually, but I was just learning how to use cameras and audio and lighting. And so, like, it was...
I know about this life.
It was... So I made all these mistakes with those interviews. So one of the interviews... Like I did with the pastor, it great content. He did a great job, but I had these, actually I had these same lights, but I didn't know about daylight, the window light coming in. I put this weird brown filter that came with them on it, and it just ruined the color, just the mixing of the lights and all that. And so I was like, man, I can't use that. And then another interview we did with another pastor, and it was great. He did a great job, but we were right by a road, you know, at a church office.
And you had all the traffic.
And all this traffic. And so all these different interviews I did had all these problems. And I was like, man, I'm going to have to reshoot all of these.
Yeah.
But then we had a chance to travel to the States, and I was able to interview Doug Wilson and Steve Gregg and a few other guys while I was in the States.
Yeah.
And then I was like, well, I have all these interviews. I might as well just do it in English.
Yeah.
And the other problem was when I went back to Chile, we had some political issues that made it a lot harder to travel for a while.
Oh, really?
And so I was still thinking I was going to reshoot these interviews, but then it was like, no, you're not going anywhere for a while.
Oh, snap.
And so all that led me to shift gears. And instead of doing a film in Spanish, I rewrote the parts, the narration parts for English, and I just took those interviews I did in English and put together the film. So that's how it kind of ended up making it out there. Because, I mean, to me, I was not even really thinking that it was something all that necessary. I mean, you got the guys here at Cross Politic and other guys doing a bunch of great work, you know, Darren Doan and Marcus Pittman and a bunch of, there's a lot of, post-mill filmmakers that have some great stuff. So I wasn't even really thinking along the lines of, well, we need another, you know, documentary on this subject. But it just so happened that I released it in English, and it gained a wider audience than I expected.
Yeah, and it just kind of took off. It's amazing how the Lord works. We own a marketing and production company by accident, is what I like to tell people. You know, I had kids, they needed to eat, somebody let me borrow a camera, and my story's a lot like yours. You know, you're learning as you go, and you realize, oh, I shot this wrong. We have to do this again.
Yeah.
Or wait. And then you learn in advance, and over time you kind of figure it out more and more. So that's cool, man. So did you go back and re-release in Spanish as well?
Well, what I did, I released it in English with subtitles in Spanish.
Ah,
but
I gotcha.
Then last year I went back and dubbed it into Spanish, and I also dubbed most of Teach All Nations into Spanish as well. So
that was cool.
Kind of cool, kind of coming full circle and finally doing what I originally planned on doing.
It's amazing how the Lord works that out.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, you're going to do that, sure, but there's some other things along the way that you're going to pick up.
Yeah.
That's 100%. Yeah, that's great,
sure,
man. So what projects are you working on right now? Like, are you got anything cooking?
Well, that's a good question. So I have a project that I want to do on the subject of theonomy and Christian Reconstruction.
I'm listening.
And so I've shot some interviews for it. I've had a lot of other issues I've had to deal with this year that aren't, you know, film related.
Yeah.
Just helping my parents out with some stuff. And so I haven't really shot much of anything, this year. The other day I sat down to my computer, and I'm like, man, I haven't opened DaVinci for a while here.
Yeah.
So I haven't done a lot of filmmaking, but I'm hoping that by 2025 I'll be able to jump back in. And I'm actually doing a few interviews right, this weekend, and a few others that might end up in hopefully on a film about Christian Reconstruction.
That's awesome. So you're also working on putting together a conference back in Chile, huh?
We are.
Yeah.
We are, actually. We haven't even announced it yet. We're going to announce it sometime this week. But it's totally fine, because we're going to announce it in Spanish. And, probably by this time it'll be out there.
So what's your hope with that? What's your goal with that?
Well, we're going to do a conference on, this same topic on postmillennialism, on the Puritan hope. Basically.
Awesome.
We hope to just, through my film, a lot of people have been introduced to some of these ideas down there. And so that's been really exciting to get to know them. And we live in a small town. I'm an elder in our church. We're a small church in a small community. But we're somewhat close to the Santiago, which is the main city.
Okay.
The big, like, probably like a third or maybe almost half of Chile lives in that city, you know?
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so we're about, 2.5-3 hour drive from there. And so it's a small coastal community where we live. And so we're hoping that yeah, people might be interested to come for the weekend and hear about some of these topics.
That's awesome.
And so, yeah, we're putting together our first conference, Reformar conference in Pichilemu, Chile on January 18th.
That's awesome.
And yeah, we're having Yuri Brito come down to share with us.
And we got Yuri coming to Tactics. You and I were talking about that beforehand. He's going to Chile, and then he's coming straight up, you know, across the Gulf to land in Louisiana for ours. I think it's just a couple of days later.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome. And also Leo Ernstein, who works with Wrath and Grace Ministries, coming down from Mexico to spend some time with us. And so, yeah, he's also a great guy, filmmaker as well.
Yeah.
We're very excited for this first conference.
I am encouraged because based on everything that you're telling me right now, it looks like the main thing that you're facing is trying to work where you are, trying to reach the people in your city, in the surrounding area in Chile. And then the Lord says, hey, I see that you have this fruit here. Let me expand it. Let me give you more opportunities that you didn't see that were coming. And I think that's awesome, man. I think that we can learn a lot instead of trying to aspire for some great acclaim, just focusing and being faithful with what God's put right in front of us. You know, here's where we are. These are my people. This is what I'm fighting for. I think that's a good thing. So well done.
Thanks.
Well
done. Yeah. That's always amazing too, with the people that I've met. Cause you know, one of the best things about the projects that I've been able to do, I was counting the other day. I think I've done I've been able to conduct like 30 interviews doing these films, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just been amazing to meet all these, you know, people like, you know, George Grant or Doug Wilson or other brothers that have Gary North,
yeah,
who've done all this amazing work, and just see how they have all been faithful in the area that God raised them up in, you
yes.
know,
and yes.
And that how that faithfulness just over time produced tremendous fruit. That
yes.
And you know, a lot of these guys are the reason that all of us are here today. Even
right.
I mean, I'm just blown away by this conference. I was at the first one in 2020
on the soccer fields.
Oh, on the soccer
field.
We
were there too. Yeah. Oh snap! Oh man, that's awesome.
And we were traveling. Me and Fabian, who's here with me, were traveling, and there was all the COVID restrictions and all that other craziness, and to see all the people here is just amazing, you know.
Yeah.
That these the brothers, the Cross Politic brothers, have done a great job to keep this all going.
Amen.
and just I guess the fruit of a lot of this movement and what's been happening these last few years is very encouraging.
Yeah, well, and it's just like you said, it's guys who said, hey, here's what the Lord has given me, I'm going to be faithful right here first. And then the Lord blesses that and multiplies it. And I mean, we've seen that where we are. We've seen that, like with Pastor Doug, you know, half of what he did, probably all of what he did, honestly, was originally oriented towards his family and towards his church. And then it grew out from there. I think that's the proper orientation of life. And the Lord blesses it.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think that, for me, and in this case, it's like I've just tried to, you know, the best I can, you know, influence the community I'm in, influence the people around me.
Yeah.
And a lot of these other things are just things the Lord has brought along at the right time.
You got opportunities. That's great, man.
Yeah.
So you got stuff coming. You got more stuff you're working on in the future. You got three great documentaries in the past. What does the creative brain of Nathan Anderson look like? Like, in general, if you were to say, my creative process looks like this, what would you say?
Well, the first goal I had was to make these films was, one, I didn't have it really any money. So
like anybody who's doing docs.
Yeah, because it's like, okay, you can produce a documentary by hiring like 10 different people to do 10 different jobs
right.
surrounding this. But my first thing was, well, how can I produce this in such a way that I'm not stuck depending on other people, basically.
Yeah.
How can I do this mostly myself, or maybe with some help, but be in a position to where if that help doesn't come through, I could finish it anyway. The project doesn't just die
right
in the middle,
right?
Basically. And so, you know, everything I was doing, I tried to orient it along those lines. And it was just trial and error, seeing what I could do,
yeah.
and just doing the best I could with what I had, and trying to be creative along the way with that,
yeah.
I guess. And I think it worked for me, and maybe it's not for everybody. I mean, obviously, if somebody is able to fundraise and, you know, come up with a budget to pay a sound guy and pay, you know, an editor and pay, you know, the color guy, you know, all those areas, that's great too. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. But my particular situation was I had to figure out how to do all these things myself.
Your first doc, you said it cost you $300.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And that was just for the interview. I went to Moscow. And so I borrowed my sister-in-law's car in Bellingham, Washington, drove to Moscow, so gas, and ate at McDonald's a few days. stayed at Darren Doan's house, so shout out to Darren Doan.
That was awesome.
And did the interviews and drove back to Bellingham. And so that was kind of that's what I spent in, like, out of pocket, and everything else was just my time and obviously cameras and that kind of stuff.
But, sure.
Just figuring things out as I went, I guess.
Well, that's awesome. That's bootstrap right there.
Yeah.
That's just figuring it out as you go. All right, this is what I'm working towards. We'll see what happens. That's awesome. It does not take a lot to step into the production world if you're willing to learn and put the time in. But you got to learn, and a lot of that learning happens as you screw it up along the way.
Yeah.
We talked about, you know, that's true. That's very true.
And I think it's also important for people to understand that, you know, gear is just tools, you know.
Yes.
A lot of times people think that, well, if I was just able to get that camera, just my filmmaking or whatever, like that's where it's all at. But it's actually not. It's the creativity, it's the vision you have, it's understanding, you know, ideas about the composition and communicating what you want to communicate ultimately.
Yeah.
And you could do that on a cell phone, you could do that on a nice camera.
Yeah.
You know, the principles are all pretty the same. You're just working with whatever gear you happen to have on the occasion.
Right.
And,
that's right.
And the other thing that's important along those lines is that gear is always limiting, and the environment's always limiting, so you're always fixing problems,
no matter
if you're on a giant production or if you're just, you know, a small crew or just you, in that sense. And so you're always fixing problems, so it's not so you don't need to wait around until you can afford, you know, the nicest camera or you could, if you really want to. I mean, I like Fabian, who's worked with me on all these films, like, and does amazing video work on his own as well these days. He made his first, like, skate video on, like, an iPhone 6. I met Fabian when he was, like, he came to live in our town and was part of our church and stuff, like, when he was 13. So watching him, you know, grow up like 16, 17, start getting into video stuff. Like, he just, someone gave him an iPhone at some point, and he made a whole skate video with that iPhone, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's amazing what you could do. And even now, like, now the phone, the quality of the video on the phones and all that is pretty amazing.
It's
you
so
know?
High. Yeah. It's like basically a 5D Mark II in your pocket.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. And so, you can go out and be creative these days with, you know, with what you have in your pocket.
Yeah.
And I just encourage people to, and like what you were saying, the biggest thing is it's just a trial and error. It's, you know, write, shoot, you know, upload it, and rinse and repeat.
That's
At some point, hopefully it'll work, you know,
and
you'll make mistakes along the way.
That's right.
And I've definitely made a lot of mistakes along the way and continue to make mistakes. And, you know, and so I just, the other day I shot an interview, and it was like, I was just by myself and I had two cameras going, and it was, the interview went great and everything. I go back home and I'm like, the one camera is completely out of focus the whole interview. And I'm just like, this is,
yes, I know about
but that's the one man band stuff where you're just right. You're the interviewee, you're the audio guy, you're the video guy, you got multiple cameras, you're talking to the, and so, and that just happens, you know. And so you have to learn to try to do better next time, but you still, it's just part of this whole creative process, you know. And and part of, you know, it's just, you're gonna make mistakes and you have to you know, do the best you can with what you have.
That's right. Yeah, you bring to mind, there's two production companies back home that have strikingly different models. One of them is the gearhead, large crew, huge setups, things like that to go shoot their projects. And the other is a bro with, I think he's got like a Sony A7 and some nice glass. And they both charge about the same, and they both show up and create pretty similar products.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about the amount of equipment. You're absolutely right. It's about the creativity of the guy on the shoot and what he can do with the equipment that he's got in his hands. Yeah. Absolutely. And sometimes too, I've found, like, we'll go in and we'll do projects and shoots, and the accidental moments or the unplanned moments are the best ones.
Yeah.
We're like, wait, we couldn't have made that better. You know, it's really interesting. We can do big comprehensive projects where we planned every frame, but it seems just about every time there's one or two moments that are just completely off the book, spontaneous, and look, there's the best moments in the project right there.
Yeah. No, I'm thinking back also to when we did our On Earth As It Is in Heaven, the final scene of the movie, it has, like, we have a Volkswagen van, and you know, shots, you know, going along the side of that. And actually, my friend Fabian was just hanging out the back of my truck with the gimbal, and just like trying to hold on to the truck somehow, you know, because he was in the pickup in the back.
Yeah,
we didn't have him strapped in there or anything, and we're on this dirt road just like bouncing along. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this group of, like, I don't know, 15 horses just start galloping. Like, I don't know if they're wild horse or whatever, but they just gallop right next to us, and he just turns around and gets that shot, and that shot ends up being in the film. And it was like, we couldn't have planned. I mean, I guess you can, obviously, but you'd have to get some kind of
coordinator,
a lot of money. And rent the horses. I don't know. The whole probably has a whole process to it.
Right.
But yeah, what you're just saying, sometimes just those unexpected or unplanned shots or topics are great.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, Nathan, thank you so much. I'm so glad we finally got to do this. You and I met last year at, I think it was Grace Agenda, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm glad we finally got to hang out and sit down and have a longer conversation. I really appreciate you. Where can people go to find more about you and about the projects that you create?
Yeah, my website for the film stuff is onearthfilm.net, and then you can also just on Facebook and Twitter, Nathan Anderson. You guys can follow me there as well, and I'll be releasing some information, hopefully, about that. And probably in 2025, we'll be diving in more on that next film project I want to do. But that's where you can find more about my projects.
That's awesome. Nathan, thanks so much again. Guys, thanks so much for listening to another episode of the Tactics Con podcast. For more information on the conference, go to tacticscon.com. We'll see y'all next time.